Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Yes, we were talking about a plane that can run on mustard seeds. Well, it's the oil you get from mustard seeds, and it's part of the blend of fuel they put into it. Aoife says, did you say mustard seeds can be used to fly a jet? Well, holy God, I made a curry paste last night. Yes, you guessed it, with mustard seeds. It was like a rocket, all right. My boyfriend is of a gentle disposition, and he was up all night. Oh, the poor fella. I'm not sure I could ever fly in a plane powered by mustard seeds. I'm a bad flyer, and thinking about flying over the Pacific Ocean for 15 hours makes me physically sick. Is he sure it's safe? Well, they've done it, and it was a regular scheduled flight that they did it with. Now, it's not... Now, mustard seeds is it's kind of novel, but it's only the latest example of that. They've tried all sorts of different crops that they've flown jets on, and they've and in China they use a lot of, now this has been used in other jurisdictions as well, but they use the oil from fish and chip shops. Now, in China particularly, they've done this because there's a lot of Chinese restaurants. Obviously, they don't call them Chinese restaurants there. They just call them restaurants. And they use the oil there, and they recycle it, and they've used it in planes. Now, again, though, there's a whole issue about continuity of supply. Pat says, yes, there is a knob on his radio. Sean, did you seriously say there's a knob on your radio? Don't be so... Thank you. Don't be so hard on yourself. But most of the comments that we've got so far was about our friend Joey, who is a vegan. Two things to say. Joe says there would be no wild or rainforest. We would need more arable land to feel the world's population. Teresa says, I like meat, but the guy did make a good argument, I thought, she says. There are good environmental arguments vis-a-vis land and water efficiency for veganism. I'm an omnivore. Common anti-vegan arguments around animals not feeling pain are silly, given that we know they have a nervous system. I think veganism will grow. Says Dermot. It probably will. Pat from Cork says, the world's population is increasing by 80 million a year. Best of luck in trying to convert everyone, says Pat. Someone else says, confirmation bias. Looking for facts or evidence to support a pre-existing opinion or belief, such as eating meat and slaughtering animals is okay because we've always done it. I'm not vegan, but I appreciate the arguments in favour of it and find the modern industrial farming industry revolting. Going vegetarian, one disgusting animal abuse video at a time, they say. Well, the thing about confirmation bias is that confirmation bias can be wielded for pretty much any argument. If you can say, I'm not in favour of carpet bombing other countries, let's say that's just confirmation bias. You can say confirmation bias is in fact an example of confirmation bias itself, because you can undermine anybody else's argument by saying it's basically confirmation bias. I'm a vegan for a number of reasons, says the Flying Scotsman in County Clare, but respect others' opinions and rights. Militants of any nature put up other people's backs and are counterproductive to their own agenda. Please don't lump us in with this idiot. He's doing the same to meat eaters as Paisley did to IRA recruitment. Okay, slightly mixing your comparisons there, but we do take the point. I lived with a vegan for a year, says Luke. You couldn't even eat a ham sandwich without her going off on a tangent about how your body isn't able to break down meat, or we're only animals who consume other animals' milk, or some other silly crap, says Luke. I don't know about not being able to break down, your body isn't able to break down meat. I think your body, or the, you know, the length of your gut is specifically designed to be able to do that. Anyway, with one smooth move, we now go into our farming slot. Mairead Lavery is here once again.
Follow right, that.
Follow that. We don't factory farm in this country.
No, we don't. Not to the extent that it's happening in Europe, Holland or America or South America or anywhere for that matter. I mean, the average size of the suckler herd is about 14 cows. Mm. We've sheep at home now, and you know, they've been outdoors all winter. And one of the arguments of the vegans is that animals shouldn't be housed. Well, you know, come this time of the year, we open the shed gates and they come flooding in. They're not one bit interested in staying out. And you can leave sheep out that little bit longer than cattle, because cattle, you know, put their big, heavy animals, maybe 700 kilos or something, and they put their feet in the ground and they leave marks in it, and the rushes grow and they fill up with water. And I hate saying this now, but there will be cow envy and grass envy around the country, because right now in Cork, in parts of Cork, the cows are going out.
Mm.
So the weather is good enough, the ground is good enough, and the grass is good enough. And as soon as they calve, they're heading out. Our girls, our sheep, all came in at the weekend, and they're sitting down, chewing the cud. They nearly talk to you. You can go in. You can go in. No one. They wouldn't move for anything. You just go into the pens, and you know, we have them in big, you know, open areas, like bigger than this studio here, and you know, about 20 into a pen, and they're there, and you know, you can give them a cuddle, or you can scratch their neck or scratch their nose, and they just won't budge for you until they see their concentrate feed coming. That's the kind of the nuts that they get, and they're up and running, then heading for their space to get at the feed. But, you know, it's a very nice thing, you know, on a winter's night to go down and check animals in a shed, knowing that they're in out of the cold, they're in out of the bad weather. If they have baby calves or baby lambs, that they will be protected against, you know, that wet and cold,
mm-hmm.
and foxes or whatever else might attack them.
Yeah.
But our girls, anyway, they're all divided up into different pens, depending on whether they're having triplets or doubles or singles. The singles now are still outside because, you know, having a single lamb doesn't put huge strain on them. You know, they're in good condition. They don't necessarily need to come in. They can be fed some extra feeding outside. So we have the doubles and the triplets all in. And the reason you have them, we scan them so we know how many lambs they're going to have. And the reason why that's a good idea is because, say, you have them all mixed up together and you don't know what kind of lambs they're having. So you have a ewe that's expecting triplets, and maybe she needs a little bit of extra attention, because that's, mm. that's a, I mean, I had twins myself, and it's a fair,
yeah.
you know, you know, there's an extra demand on your body. And so as they go along in the pregnancy, if, you know, there's a couple of yos maybe who are not pregnant at all, or who are only having singles, they're able to bully her away from the truck. So actually, she's not getting that special treatment that she needs.
Mm.
So that, by scanning them, you're able to literally just decide, like, they're the bunch that are, you know, having triplets. We'll give them, put them in their own area, give them extra attention, extra feed. And know then that when they start a lamb, there's going to be a third lamb, hopefully a live lamb, the all three will be alive, and that you know that here now you need to maybe adopt that lamb onto another ewe. Because one thing that a ewe, it's very difficult to rear three lambs. It really is hard work to do it right. And you've got perfectly good ewes with one single lamb, and they will be able to take on a second lamb. So knowing what how many lambs the ewe is going to have is really important. So our girls are not going to be doing anything for another month. They have a full month of relaxation now. Well, they've had a couple of months of relaxation, but now they're indoors. Water, silage, their concentrate feed, fresh straw bed. The only thing that they have to look out for is we just have to watch their feet. The straw, you know, and everything between it is inclined to get wrapped into their little feet. And you just need to keep the feet clean and keep them disinfected so that, you know, they don't get sore feet when they go out.
Because this is a relatively quiet time of the year for farmers, do many of them go on holidays around this time of the year?
No. they go on holidays. If they're going on holidays, they go October, November. September, October. If you're not milking, if you're finished milking, a lot of farmers are finished milking kind of in, you know, towards November, and cows are dry then, and the dry stock, you know, the sucklers who are rearing calves, they're not calving down at that stage. So that's a really good time for holidays. Now, while it's quiet on the looking out at farms, it looks very quiet. It is pure bedlam. Pure bedlam, because of the number of calves and everything that have been born, especially now with the bigger dairy herds. You know, I know of farmers who are feeding, or, you know, who are milking 90 to 100 cows at this stage, where 3 weeks ago they hadn't a cow in the milking parlour. And it's not just milking 90 to 100 of them, it's having to feed all those calves a couple of times a day. And above all, keeping any sort of infection out of the place. I mean, the cleanliness that's required, you know, the worst thing you can possibly do is have a whole bunch of beautiful little calves and they get an infection, some sort of, you know, scour or something like that. Because then you're all your time trying to keep them alive and keep them right. So it's far, far cheaper, far easier, and far more use of your time to prevent infection rather than have to deal with it after it happens.
You did mention about keeping them safe.
Yeah.
Alpacas.
I know, isn't this extraordinary? Alpacas hate foxes and dogs. And they're used in Australia regularly to protect sheep flocks from both dog attacks in, you know, at different times of the year. And also when they lamb, because now, unlike here in Ireland, where a lot of the ewes go into lamb and lamb indoors and are not therefore, you know, being watched by foxes to whip the lamb away. In Australia, there's very little lambing indoors. So they reckon, the research that they've shown out there is that you can get an average of 13 extra lambs to weaning stage for every 100 ewes by having an alpaca. Now, the rub here is that a pair of alpacas will cost you about €6,000. So that's very, very expensive. And most sheep farmers won't have that kind of money available for, you know, a pair of animals. Mm. But there's a farmer by the name of Brian Smith, and he organises, he has a business called Alpacas of Ireland. And his farm is trialling a new rental service whereby sheep farmers, for a starting price of 116 month for a pair, can rent out a pair of alpacas. So when do you need them now? Yeah. He's talking about renting them for either 9 months or a year, depending. But you really could do with, maybe if you're plagued by foxes near a forestry area or something like that, the foxes can take away whatever they want, but not let them take away the little lamb. And so the alpacas seemingly are able, they're very fast runners, and they're able to get up on their two hind legs and pounce on the fox or the dog with their two front legs, but seemingly really effective. Huh. And, and they're very good companions. Now, for the €160, Brian says that he'll manage the animals' health and their shearing. He'll give farmers the basic training in their upkeep. They eat the same as the sheep do, so there's going to be no worry about that. They have very few diseases and they don't require any dipping, which is another very useful thing. But, you know, the research has shown 13 lambs, extra lambs per 100 ewes. If you have a flock of 200 ewes, 26 lambs multiplied by 100 each, you know, much as that, €2,600. So, you know, the renting out of the alpacas might just work.
And the caps up for renegotiation.
Caps up for renegotiation, yes. And there's very important meetings going on around the country. And the first one of them was held in Athlone there the other night. And there's another one in Charleville, which is next Monday night in the Charleville Park Hotel. The one after that, there's in Navan in County Meath. Now, Minister Creed, the Minister for Agriculture, is going to be at these meetings. There was about 200 in Athlone, which is way too few. There should have been a way bigger crowd at it.
Mm.
Because there's no point giving out about the cap renegotiation when it's all over and done with. With big issues here, because you've got the Eastern European states who are looking for more of the budget. And you've also got the fact that Britain has pulled out with a big chunk of the budget, which means that no matter what way it goes round, either we'll be paying in more or getting less. So
right, okay, because this is a cap that won't include Britain.
It won't include Britain. Britain is out of the loop at this stage. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, is it about 20% of the spending of the funding that they give to it? And that's not where's that going to be replicated?
Ooh.
If they decide they're not going to put in the extra money, I mean, everybody's going to get cut. Or are they going to cut the older states in the EU more and leave it to the Eastern Europeans? Want particularly for women to turn out to these meetings, because if we're not talking about farmers here, we're talking about farm family model of farming. So the next one, as I said, Monday in Charleville, Minister Creed will be there. They're heading for Navan. They're going to Claremorris, I think, is another place, Carrigan-Shannon. So get yourselves to those meetings and know where they are. And just one tiny little story. Over in Hatton in northeast Scotland, there was a standoff between the police and a tiger, and they were watching it for about an hour. It was on a farmer's land before they discovered, they thought it was an escaped tiger from somewhere, but it was actually a great big toy tiger. The farmer doesn't want to let himself know, and talk about the police are feeling a little bit sheepish.
Yeah, indeed. Right, thanks very much, Mairead. We're going to take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. Gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.